Well, hello everyone. I'm Richard Martin, and I'm head of corporate reporting in the Professional Insights team at ACCA. And today I'm joined in this podcast by Alan Teixeira, who is the Global Director of IFRS Research at Deloitte. And we're going to talk about R&D expenditure and the intangibles question. And that's because we recently, ACCA and Deloitte, have published a report on R&D expenditure this year. So Alan, I suppose for me the background to starting on this project was about the intangibles issue and the so-called intangibles gap, and I suppose that. And what is that? That's that. And to me, that's the difference between the stock market value of companies and the net asset value that accountants are reporting there. Is this a big issue in your view?
A lot of people are writing about this. Over the last few years, I think we've seen quite a few reports where they talk about this gap where. If you go back 20, 30 years, maybe 15% of the value was in intangibles, and now they're saying up to 86% of the value is in intangibles. So you look at the differences, and people saying there's something missing off a balance sheet.
Yes, and that missing item is growing, as you say, from it seems to be growing from year to year.
It does, yeah. And you just look around in terms of the way businesses are operating, and there's so much more that's software generated, for example. So you see these high tech companies that are spending lots of money on software applications and things like that. You look at their balance sheet and you're just not seeing anything in there for the amount of expenditure that they've got.
Yeah. So that'll be certainly one component of it. What else is in that? What else is in that intangibles? Goodwill, I guess, for in some cases anyway, internally generated goodwill.
Yeah, exactly. And you just think about some of the very large companies, the Facebooks of the world and Google and so on, how they've grown so much over time. And they're very valuable companies, but you look at the physical assets that they've got and there's not much there. So there's part of its goodwill and future growth potential.
Workforce, I suppose.
Yeah.
Workforce, customer relations.
Exactly. So if you think about the banking sector, so we're not just talking about high-tech industries, but even in banking, if you've assembled a great team of people and your real value is in all the services you're providing to people, we don't recognise that on the balance sheet.
Yeah. We may not even have the software.
No, exactly.
Supporting their banking systems. Anyway, with that as the background, that intangibles gap, I suppose what I was interested in about R&D is that under IFRS, it's the one asset the one intangible asset internally generated, which you could capitalize, because there's this internally generated thing, Alan. You know, there is a difference between companies who have grown by acquisition and companies that have grown organically, as it were, in this respect, isn't it?
Yeah, and just think about the pharmaceutical sector, because you can have a research pipeline where you've got your own internal research function, and so you're spending money trying to develop drugs, or else you go and find a startup somewhere that's actually done quite a bit of work, and you buy all their IP off them, or you license it in, you pay a fee. We recognise those if you pay the money for it, but if you do it yourself and you can do identical work, and we're just not seeing those show up on the balance sheet.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Or as you say, you buy a whole business, and when you buy a business, the way the standards work is that they assume that the intangible asset is separable, and you can measure it reliably because you paid some money for it. So so we get these quite big differences between internally generated and externally bought.
On this intangibles question, yeah. So that in a way was the that in a way is the background. But what's the then if we start thinking about the report, one of the main things it's trying to do is just to say what the current state of accounting for R&D is. And what do we find there?
Well, we find that most companies are expensing I think there's quite a large percentage in
the
high 60s.
60% or something,
just expensing everything.
Right.
You find very few capitalisers. What the report does and the researchers have done is they've tried to build up an expectation model of what they expect the amount of capitalised expenditure to be based on the sectors and things like that. But they don't find it as high as they expected it to be.
Yeah.
And also differences between different countries. So you'll find some countries tend to be, there could be some particular reasons for it, but they tend to err towards expensing, whereas others tend to capitalise. So, if you think about global financial reporting, we're not getting consistency either between the countries or between companies in terms of the way they might actually account for their research activities.
Yeah. So we find if we look to see those companies that are expensing all of their R&D expenditure, then that is about 60%, and about 40% of companies will capitalise a lot of their R&D.
Yeah, and you think about it, these people in business are quite rational. They're spending the money because they expect to recover something from it. They think it's valuable, and yet they're recognising it as an expense.
Yeah, quite. I agree. Intuitively, you just sort of feel well, that can't all be sort of wasted money, can it? When those 60%. So I suppose the question is then why and what does the report tell us about why companies choose to expense it all and why some companies choose to capitalise some of it?
Yeah, I think you're right. There are two issues there at least. One is the accounting standards themselves, because the report also talks about some conversations that were made with some stakeholders as well, and their perceptions about the way people are approaching the standard. But at the core of this is an accounting standard that was actually the recognition criteria. This, in other words, when you expense it as opposed to when you treat something as an asset. They were developed in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas if it's a piece of property, plant and equipment, we have this general recognition criteria that says you recognise an asset when you expect to recover that from in the future. In the case of R&D, in fact, any intangible asset that you develop internally, there are six criteria that have been brought that are in the standard. And I think the perception is that they create quite a high hurdle.
Okay.
So even in the pharmaceutical sector, we know that there are some companies will not capitalise any expenditure on their development until they've actually got regulatory approval. In other words, when it's finished.
Right.
And yet they probably wouldn't go through the regulatory approval process unless they're pretty confident they would come out the other side positively. But they will wait until they get to that level.
Yeah. So there are the six tests, and the six tests are mostly about is there likely to be a commercial return on the assets, and it's expressed in those under those six different ways, and that may be providing, as you say, a sort of hurdle or a sense that there's a high hurdle to be crossed, but equally. As we were saying earlier, well, maybe those six just provide a lot of reasons for management not to capitalise it. And it's perhaps the expensing option is perhaps simpler and carries less risk, I suppose, for management. Is that?
Yeah.
I think that's some of the reasons coming out of the report.
Yeah. Some of the stakeholders they talked about not wanting to capitalise it because then you face impairment risk, and with intangibles you can understand if you developed an app, for example, somebody else could develop a better one quite quickly, and all of a sudden the value's gone, so they're nervous about that. There's an audit aspect to it as well because the audit teams seem to find it's much more difficult to audit something that's intangible in terms of making sure that you do know that you've got some value there. So they've I think there are lots of reasons. And the word prudence came up.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that might explain a little bit about why there are country differences as well, because it could well be that historically, like in the US, for example, all research and development is expensed. There is
yes.
no such thing as
development
asset. Yes, so there
is
a
big area of difference between US GAAP and IFRS,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, yep. exactly. You imagine if the US switched to IFRS model, they'd having a history, you know, decades and decades of expensing, mm-hmm. switching that mindset around is a bit challenging. And if the standard lets you expense it all, maybe there's a little bit of history in there that means that they continue to expense because it allows them to.
I think the other thing that comes out is the size of companies that are expensing all of their R&D, and we can see it's positively associated. So larger companies will be tending to expense the R&D more often than smaller companies, and I think you can probably see that that's going to make a lot of sense in a sort of established larger company that's got a sort of pipeline of things coming through. It's just sort of for all those simpler and avoidance of impairment reasons, they're just expensing it. If you are a bit of a startup and you're beginning your development process, then you probably want to sort of indicate that it isn't actually all money down the drain, and you are actually developing something valuable, and you're trying to signal to your investors that yes, there is something worthwhile here.
And I think that's something the report highlights as well, is that given the criteria for recognition, and it could be quite late in the development phase before you start to recognise an asset, you might have spent $20 million trying to develop this thing, and then you get to the threshold and you've only got $1 million left to spend, and you almost start to think, what's the point of recognising $1 million of all that effort we put into it?
Yes.
It's only that last little leg that we're recognising as an asset. So it's not that meaningful for a lot of people.
And that also seems a sort of slightly strange, to me, it seems a slightly strange aspect of IAS 38, this business. You're trying to recognise the cost of individual intangible assets, but you ignore the cost before a certain date, don't you? And you can't go back and capitalise what you've already expensed. So that is, I guess, also a reason why perhaps the expensing model just makes more sense to people.
Yeah. Whereas if this was a tangible asset, you actually would capitalise it, and if it doesn't look as if it's going to develop, you impair it, and then you get to reverse it if you actually looks like it's a good thing. And that's actually something else the report highlights, because it does peek ahead about what changes could be made. They comment in there that when it comes to disclosure, all you're showing is R&D spend in a given year. So if you are successful with a project, you can't see how much was actually spent on that. Even if you've expensed it, you don't know how much has been spent on it. And similarly, if somebody spends a lot trying to develop and then abandons, you've got no idea. So there's not much granularity around the expensing either.
Yeah, and so I suppose that is if people were asking themselves the question, well, does it matter whether people capitalise things or expense them? Are people that interested in are the people that interested in people's balance sheets? They're probably less. But it is in a way, it's the performance of the company. Are they generally backing, they've got a good track record in backing winners in their development, or are there a lot that are where they're spending money, but in the end it turns out to be
and you can't really tell. And I think that's one of the things the report highlights and focuses on.
One of the other interesting things about the report, to me, was that this report looks at all companies all listed companies following IFRS since 2005 and reporting under that. So it's a comprehensive sample, and I noticed that nearly about three quarters of the companies involved, and these are all sectors, all countries, they say in their financial statements, they say nothing about R&D at all. They don't even mention it. So it's neither an expense nor an asset. And again, intuitively, that just seems sort of extraordinary that people are, that all these companies are doing nothing to spend money innovating and developing their products and processes.
Even a website. And you're right too, the software that you have to manage. I suppose they might be acquiring some of it themselves, in which case they'll be capitalising it. But you're right, a lot of the stuff and a lot of internal costs associated website building, and also just the nature of companies has changed as well. You would expect more of them to have at least some sort of development.
Yeah, and perhaps people think of R&D as test tubes and laboratories, and they don't think of developing their customer systems as perhaps a development they ought to be capitalising, I guess.
Could be. And of course, when those six criteria were developed late 1970s, you think about what the world was like, and I don't think we had too many smartphones and apps and things like that. So
sure.
It was a different world then.
Sure. Yeah. we've talked a lot about the financial statements, but obviously, if people aren't, if, as I say, 3/4 of the companies aren't even mentioning R&D at all in their financial statements, and we've noticed a lot of people that the majority of those that do are just expensing the cost, then we might expect to find a bit more of the sort of story of their investment in R&D in the front half of their annual report, in their management commentary, strategic report, directors' review. And what's the report looked at this and generally found there wasn't that much in the front half on average, and nor was there much of a difference between those that capitalised and those that expensed. So if you expensed, you might have thought, well, you would just provide more explanation in to your investors in the narrative section of your report.
Yeah, I think that's right. There was an expectation that you would get much more, I guess, non-performance measures and further explanations about how they're developing those things, and particularly if you've got lots of, as you say, with the expenses. You think about, a pharma company or any type of, where it's very intensive in terms of research and development, you would expect, given that all they're doing is spending money and recognising an expense, that they'd explain a bit more about that and perhaps tell us about some of this, the stages they're at.
Yeah.
I think there was a bit of surprise too that it wasn't even very clear at what point or what threshold people were establishing to capitalise. And so there seems to be a lack of understanding about some of the judgments that people are making in terms of the accounting side of it, and then just not understanding as much about the processes as would expect to see, enough explanation about them.
Of course, these are on average, and you can certainly find very good examples of pharma companies, for example, explaining in considerable detail about the pipeline of their products under development, even if they've expensed them all in the profit and loss account. So I suppose that that review, which the report tries to set out, both what's in the financial statements, what's in the management report for this intangible, what sort of overall conclusions would we be making about that and the intangibles gap then, do you think, Alan?
Well, it's just a little bit difficult. I think what the report highlights is that the way the standards are set is people have got a tool that allows them to expense or encourages them to expense. The six criteria like that. The report, I think, highlights the lack of clarity around the in terms of disclosure of the expenses. So, if anything, I think unless there's a fundamental review of the IAS 38, which is the standard for intangibles, unless there's a fundamental review by the ISB, we're just going to continue to see all the money that's spent on this being expensed rather than capitalised. It's going to be very hard to see a change in behaviour, because the standard discourages that in a way. I think the criteria are pretty high hurdles.
Yeah.
And so if we see the economy continue to develop as it is, we just might see that gap get even bigger again, because we just haven't got that in place. The report, we hear all sorts of things about fair value and all those sorts of things, and the report doesn't go down that pathway, but does suggest a few areas in terms of strengthening the disclosures. So we do understand if you have spent an amount of money developing a product, that we can find out how much money was spent on that product, for example. So it's sort of keeping a bit of history about our expenditure. And that may be a pathway that the ISB could have a look at.
So improving the disclosures, which I think some of the investors who were interviewed certainly were saying that they were inadequate. Do you think IS 38 should have a more fundamental look at that and the inherent discouragement from recognizing deferring the expenditure on these items?
Interestingly to me, if you look 20 years ago when they last revised it in a fundamental way, one of the biggest comments was, we've got such a changing economy, far more is invested in intangibles, and we need to change the standard.
Yeah.
And if you were to look at it more fundamentally, it is the recognition criteria. Because when IS 38 was developed in the 90s, the original exposure draft had the same recognition criteria that exists in the standard that deals with property, plant and equipment.
Right.
And it was only at the last minute that they reinserted the 6 criteria that they'd taken from an old standard.
Right.
So, and I suspect at the time it was some concerns, the same sorts of concerns we see manifesting through the way companies are behaving now. I think it's those concerns probably made the old International Accounting Standards Committee, as it was in those days, a little bit nervous about that. So they put the criteria in there.
So a fundamental. And of course, we've seen the US accounting following that.
Exactly.
Right, so no prospect really of that intangibles gap closing very much in the near future, unless perhaps they take a more radical look at the accounting there. Anyway, thank you very much, Alan, for joining us today, and a big thank you to our listeners. If you're interested in more in-depth information, you can find the full report on our website, accaglobal.com. Thank you.
Thank you.